The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Well, some sobering information from Dr. Myberg this morning. Yeah, we have to do what we need to do in order to try to keep on top of this.
Yeah, and I saw that Israel's numbers yesterday were incredibly high. I mean, more than 3,000 new cases. I mean, that is more than South Africa, where we've got a significantly larger population.
This is really, really bad news. 3,000 cases for the first time diagnosed in one day. Our coronavirus commissioner, Professor Ronnie Gumzu, has really been doing whatever he can in order to implement restrictions. And people are just not adhering to the restrictions. Just to give a few examples, I mentioned that schools were not going to be opened in those red cities that have been labeled as red because of an increase in the number of people diagnosed there. So in the location in the town of Beitar Elite, which is an ultra-Orthodox neighborhood, the local authority decided off their own back that they're going to open their education facilities for their children against the advice of the coronavirus commissioner. Professor Gumzu actually visited Beitar Elite yesterday to try to see what is happening there. Something like 14% of people screened for the virus had tested positive. But here is a very sobering additional piece of information. Professor Gumzu, unfortunately, has now come into direct conflict with a very, very senior Haredi rabbi, Kanievsky. He is considered to be, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky is considered to be the senior Orthodox Lithuanian rabbi within the Haredi community. Many, many thousands of people look up to him in terms of his advice. And he has told his yeshiva students that they should stop being screened for coronavirus because it could lead to a mass loss of study of Torah. He means by that is that if people are diagnosed positive, then they will be put into isolation. And if they're put into isolation, it means they might not be able to study Torah. So therefore, his advice is don't get tested. Okay? This is what we're having to deal with, which is very, very unfortunate. I saw a statistic that suggested that something like 80% of the new infections that we've had over the past few days come from Haredi towns and cities. Okay? So we have a clear issue within our community and we know where the problem is. We just simply can't get our hands around it. And this is a very, very serious problem for us to confront, particularly ahead of the Chagim, which are now only a very short time away. And with people planning to potentially get together, either to pray together or to come together for meals, for celebrations. This is a potential disaster waiting for place to happen and a very, very unfortunate situation indeed.
Sure. It must be causing a tremendous amount of discord within Israeli society.
It is causing a huge amount of discord because in the most part, people want to overcome this. People want to find a way to resolve this issue. And yet we just find that in certain elements of our society, there isn't the same desire. And it's one thing for those people to endanger themselves if that's what they choose to do. The problem is that you can't isolate it. The moment one person gets on a bus, the moment one person travels on a train, goes into a supermarket,
yeah,
here, there, or anywhere.
It's exactly what you say. I'm busy writing.
It just goes around.
I'm busy writing an article or a piece for one of the shuls here in Johannesburg for Rosh Hashanah. And the theme that I'm following, and the more I think about it, is it's this theme of responsibility. Because if 2020, if this last year has taught us anything, it's that we are responsible for ourselves and we're responsible for so much around us, that our behavior has consequences. And that means, you know, very, very much so, in terms of going to shul, being outside, going to places without masks. We have a responsibility to everybody. It's not just our own actions that affect us. It's quite an incredible responsibility that we have this year.
This is a new situation that we find ourselves in, because up until now, we've sort of lived in a world where whatever we do has an impact on us, and perhaps.
But it's so interesting, Anthony, because isn't this counter to everything that the Haredi world actually stands for? Because, you know, the whole issue of responsibilities, of brotherhood, of every Jew impacting on another Jew. I mean, it actually, and in fact, impacting on the whole world. You know, that we are all connected, and doesn't this fly in the face of that?
It absolutely does, but the problem is that we have some conflicting views within our Haredi community. On the one hand, they're saying that, you know, study of Torah under these particular conditions is of primary importance. One has to show one's entire faith in God, and if you doubt that for even a split second, then that is the greatest violation that you could commit. So the moment you feel that you are taking responsibility away from him, or taking the power away from him and taking it upon yourself, that is potentially a violation of your belief. But of course, we do have this concept of what we call hishtaglut within Judaism, which means that while you may believe in God and you may place all your trust in him, you need also to make an effort yourself. It doesn't come without any effort from yourself. And here is the issue, that we need to really make a massive effort in order to allow him to exert his power. Otherwise, we have no chance at all of getting over this.
Unbelievable. Really, really, very, very worrying and very sad. And to me, I think someone's missing the point somewhere, and that is not a good thing at all. Israel's been accused of further attacks against the T4 airbase in Syria last night. What do we know about this attack?
What we know, how it all comes from Arabic media, reports on Wednesday night that Syrian air defense systems were activated when the strategic T4 airbase in the Homs province near to the city of Palmyra was attacked. T4 is always very sensitive. I mean, we know, we've seen reports about attacks in Syria. This is already not the first one this week. There was an attack that was reported on Monday night as well. But whenever these attacks are carried out against T4, there always seems to be an added level of sensitivity. And I think that that's because of the extent to which the Iranians are really present at that airbase, not only physically present, but also have massive amount of equipment stored there and created, you know, what is a very strategic asset for the Iranian presence in Syria. And so we don't really know too much more, other than I've seen some kind of aerial pictures which allegedly show the before and after of what might have happened last night, and that, you know, that T4 is clearly some sort of a strategic asset. There was a return back to mention what happened on Monday evening, where apparently there were five members of pro-Iranian militia who were killed. Three of them were considered to be non-Syrians, and there was even a report that the successor to Qasem Soleimani, who we know was killed by Americans a few months ago, apparently there were reports that his successor, Ismail Ghani, who is or has been the head of the Quds force, he might have been killed apparently in this attack, if we believe some of the reports on social media. I feel that the reports are probably without justification, but it does go to show that some senior Iranian officials were actually present at that location when the attack was carried out on Monday. So Israel continues to really have a massive focus on what's going on in Syria. And it seems as if, though, if we believe the reports that this attack last night was carried out by Israel, then it obviously seems to have a lot of interest in making sure that there isn't too much of an Iranian presence built up in that Syrian area.
Yeah, indeed. A terror attack carried out yesterday morning injured two Israelis. That happened just at the end of our update and our broadcast, didn't it?
That's right. So I mentioned it yesterday, and I just wanted to bring an update. There were two people who were injured. They were struck by a vehicle which a terrorist was driving and just simply rammed into them. It happened at the Tapuach Junction, which is near the town of Kfar Tapuach in Samaria. and it happened about a half an hour before I was speaking to you yesterday. There were soldiers who were stationed there. They opened fire on the terrorist who was, in the words of the press, neutralized. The terrorist was not killed, but found to be, it was being treated in moderate condition, and both of the victims were said to have been injured in light condition, so not too seriously injured. There was reports that a knife was found on the individual, and that he had more serious intentions than simply just injuring these two people. But we are very, very fortunate on this occasion that once again we've managed to escape without too much in the way of casualty or damage, and we have to be thankful to our soldiers who were on duty, who continue to be on duty, who are always on duty, and who are ready for such events and can move very, very quickly indeed to prevent it from becoming more serious than it was.
And this is an amazing story. Finally, the Israeli Supreme Court has ruled that Mal Khalifa is mentally fit to stand a trial. All right, what are the next steps in the process for her extradition to Australia?
Yeah, so this is a lengthy, lengthy story, and we just keep updated at each stage of the development. Unfortunately, we're not at the end of the process yet, because the Jerusalem District Court did rule back in May that Mal Khalifa was fit to stand trial and fit for extradition to Australia. She then appealed that decision at the district court, and the appeal went to the Supreme Court, which was held yesterday. The three judges on the panel of the Supreme Court unanimously backed the decision of the lower court, ruled that Khalifa is indeed fit for extradition proceedings. And so now those proceedings can take place. In other words, this was just the precursor to what is coming next. And we understand that the extradition proceedings will now take place in a few months' time, apparently a date of September the 21st, not even a few months, a few weeks' time. September the 21st, the district court is due to rule on whether Mal Khalifa can actually be extradited based on the facts of the case. I think that most people in Israel, and certainly a lot of people in Australia, are hoping that the district court will in fact authorize her extradition, and that finally the time will come that she can stand trial against these accusations that have been leveled against her of sexual misconduct, abuse of students in the school that she taught in. So I think the time has come. It's already been 6 years since the original extradition request was filed for indictment, and the crimes were committed back in 2008. So really a long time has passed. People have suffered, and I think it's time for her to finally face the accusers and the legal system in Australia.
And finally, maybe time for the victims to get some closure. Just taking a look at some of the messages, Clive says, and talking about COVID, that's what you get when you politicize and weaponize health. You get a backlash. So I think he's saying that they're quite right to continue as they are. Mike says, wasn't Kamenetsky involved in the original denying of the virus, and the same people are endangering the lives of everyone in Oman? And by the way, you can study at home. And Ansan says, these are true believers and are the spiritual brides of the Messiah. I'm not really sure what that means, but either way, it's very clearly a subject, and we are unfortunately out of time. But it's very clearly a subject that that is just quite emotive for people. Well, it is for me, because I can't understand the concept of endangering other people's lives.
The whole politicization of the issue is a very valid point. And the problem, of course, is that the Prime Minister has been somewhat dualistic in his approach to it, because he needs the support, the political support of the ultra-Orthodox parties within the government. He's not coming out unequivocally saying, this is not okay. He's not prepared to criticize formally the ultra-Orthodox community for their action, because he wants the support of the parties in the Knesset. And as a result of that, he is not supporting the cause, unfortunately.
And there we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always, and have a fantastic weekend. We'll speak to you on a Monday morning. Have a Shabbat Shalom.